weeks together, not very long, but let's just dwell on it. We've been working through the Gospel of Mark as a church, preaching through it over a number of weeks, and it kind of so happens we've just about landed on this passage today, and it couldn't be more fitting, could it really? It's a story of a big crowd with a big appetite, and I'm looking at some faces here. My stomach's already been rumbling. You might pick it up on the microphone. Who knows? A big crowd with a big appetite. We're planning to feed you all after this, God willing. And as wonderful as that spread, I'm sure, will be, it won't be quite as miraculous as the one in this story. Although if we start to get low on vol-au-vents or whatever, we might start praying, and who knows? I don't know what you think about that. But here's what is the same, though. We're hungry people wandering in a wilderness looking for a shepherd. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for more of life? Do you sometimes feel lost and looking for someone, maybe someone who can make sense of it and bring you home, it feels? Well, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is classic, isn't it? Really, many of us know this story. We've been taught it perhaps from a very young age. But it's classic for a reason, because it shows us where to find bread. Not for our stomachs, for our souls, okay? Mark wants us to think about this. Where do you go to find bread, that kind of bread? Does it really satisfy you? And can it actually meet your deepest need? Let's think about that under three sort of points, really. Firstly, whose bread do you go for? Whose bread? Our passage starts off, doesn't it, with a rather tired bunch of disciples. And they're all a bit sad as well. In fact, they're grieving. They've come back off a busy missions trip, and they're sad because their friend, John the Baptist, has just been murdered. And then there's all these people constantly coming and going. Everyone wants a piece of Jesus. They want something of his teaching or his healing. They want their questions answered by him. It's so busy, it says, they can't even find time to eat. So it's time for a break. Jesus says, come on, let's get away, fellas, to a desolate place and rest a while. And that's the best kind of rest with Jesus. And so into a boat they get to escape on the lake. But the crowds, they catch on to this. They know where they're going. They seem to be able to follow them on foot. And so when Jesus steps out of the boat, what does he find? A crowd of thousands of people who need him. You ever felt like that if you've come off a holiday and your inbox is just, the work that's just waiting for you? Well, Jesus hasn't even got to his holiday yet and the inbox is full. So what does Jesus do? What would you do? The do not disturb is switched on. I've set up my out of office auto replies. I'm not available. No, he doesn't do that, does he? Exhausted and grieving as he is, Mark tells us he looks at this needy crowd and what? It says he feels compassion for them. Compassion. He doesn't turn them away or roll his eyes. He doesn't sort of tut and sigh. It's, right, what do you guys want now? He loves them. And it says, verse 34, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Children, think about this. What would happen to sheep if they didn't have a shepherd looking after them? Think about that. Well, go on, give me an answer then. They would escape. Yes, they would. What else? They could escape. They could get, sorry, sweetheart. Yeah, they could escape. What else might happen? They might get, go ahead, Ellie, go on. They might get lost. Of course, Zach at the back, go on, give me one more. They could get killed. Yeah, it's not a good idea for a sheep to escape the shepherd. And they might not be able to find food either. They're going to get hungry. This is what Jesus sees when he looks at this crowd of people. He sees sheep without a shepherd, lost, hurting people with no one to help them. In the Bible, the shepherd's a kind of interesting concept. If you do a study on it, a shepherd really is the leader of God's people. In the Old Testament, when God saw his people without good shepherds, he says, he promised this, in fact, in Ezekiel 34. He said, I myself will come and be your shepherd. I will seek you out and rescue you, those who are lost. I will heal your wounds. I will feed you. I will make you lie down in green grass. And now here's Jesus, and he's like a shepherd. And he starts by feeding them with his word, his teaching, doesn't he? And then he feeds them with bread until they're all full. He doesn't turn people away when he's tired and grieving. He's not selfish like that. He doesn't serve them begrudgingly, but with compassion. He doesn't discriminate. He feeds everybody there. No matter who you are, with all your baggage, with all your mess, no, there's something for you too. Can you see what Mark is showing us? Jesus is the good God shepherd, come down to rescue and care for lost people. Do you think people are feeling pretty lost right now? Wandering through life like a wilderness, searching for bread, searching for a shepherd. That's what I see. I see young people desperate for meaning and purpose in a culture that says there isn't any. In fact, I had a conversation with a 16-year-old girl this week who told me that very thing. I said, do you think you matter? Do you think you have meaning and purpose? And she said to me, no, I don't. I see people hoping to be filled by their work, or by their relationships, by their fitness level, by their bank account, by their followers, who want to be filled by the influencers, by, it's got to be the politicians and the professors, these who claim to have the solutions for living the good life. And yet people are still lost. They're still empty, still hopeless, still alone. Still afraid, still anxious, still disappointed. They're like lost sheep, hungry, hurting, and without a shepherd. Friends, where do you go when you need bread? Who do you go to? Who do you follow when you're in a desolate place? When life is really, really hard, what's the first thing you reach for? Well, you might say, look, it's not going to be God. No, he's the biggest letdown of them all, you might be thinking. But can I urge you, look again at what you see here in Jesus. Jesus, the Bible says, is the spitting image of the Father. He shows us what God is like. You can't know God. You can't know what God is like. Nobody can know what God is like. Can you ever get your head around somebody like God? He's beyond our imagining. He's beyond our understanding. And he's invisible too. But in Jesus, we see God. This is what God is like. Different to the other shepherds who use and abuse and fail. He's available. He's utterly unselfish. He's drawn towards people who are broken and hurting. He's not waiting for them to kind of, come on, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and sort your life out, then I might give you some attention. No! He has compassion on people like me. This is what God is like. And if that is what God is like, then I think I could follow him. Couldn't you? Could you trust somebody like that? This is what Ellie and Reuben have discovered. A good God shepherd. He's the one. They've decided, I need him. They don't have all their answers. There's lots they don't know yet. They haven't figured it all out. But what they know is at least this. He's got bread for me. That's whose bread this is. That's the one providing here in this story. But secondly, let's think, I mean, does he have enough? And we might be thinking, you know, okay, Jesus might have something to give, but can he really meet my deepest need as a human being? Let's look a bit more closely. What happens? Is there enough bread here? It's getting late in the day. The disciples notice here a potential crisis emerging, don't they? A big crowd with a big appetite and nothing to eat. And their plan, verse 36, is to send the problem away. Go and get your own food. But Jesus, he wants them to do something about it, verse 37. And of course, the problem is too big. And for them, notice that it's too expensive. And what they do have, 5 loaves and 2 fish, is totally inadequate anyway. But that's the point, isn't it? Jesus is teaching them something by kind of inviting them back into the problem. He's showing them, yeah, you don't have enough, do you, fellas? But with me, in my hands, there's enough. And so he takes the little that they do have. He commands the people to sit down on the green grass, verse 39. That's that shepherd idea again, isn't it? And he looks up to heaven. He blesses the food. He breaks the bread and he starts to give it away. Handful after handful after handful. And on it goes until verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. Not most people. All of them. Not only the ones who had the cleanest lives and the sorted out lives. No, all these people. It wasn't just a snack to tide you over until they could get home and get a decent meal in them. No, it was fully satisfying, we're told. With 12 baskets of leftovers as well. Jesus provides far more than enough for every person. You know, there's always more to Jesus's miracles when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, than perhaps first appears. So look, this, if all you're seeing here is a miraculous picnic, well, maybe you need to look a bit harder. In John's Gospel account of this, Jesus gives us a bit of an explanation of what he's doing here. And he says, this isn't about bread for stomachs. This is about bread for life. Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. That is Jesus, the bread of life. The miracle, you see, is really telling us something about who he is. He is enough. When I was 17 years old, not much older than Ellie and Reuben, I had pretty much everything you could want at that age. I had bit of money. I had a good family, good education, girls, lots of friends, busy social life, but underneath it, I felt empty, desperately so. I think a lot of people might know that feeling. They've been left empty by a culture where money and stuff aren't enough, by the online world where likes and follows aren't enough, by the great education, and then, oh, sorry, we can't give you a job, there isn't any, by the holiday, or the marriage, or the promotion, or the sex that just don't deliver. It's not enough. We're still hungry. And that's because humans have such a big appetite. This is what Mark is showing us. Jesus, though, is enough. Can you hear what Jesus is saying here? He said, I'm enough for you. I am. You come to me with nothing. You come to me with all your luggage. You said, we haven't got enough money. We haven't got enough bread and fishes. We've got nothing. He said, don't care. I don't care. Come to me. I'm enough for you. I can fill that hole in the pit of your life, that longing for life, for refreshment, for satisfaction, for love, for rest. Look to me. Trust me. Come to me, though you have nothing, and live. Could you believe something like that? Reuben and Ellie have taken the plunge, quite literally, haven't they? A step of faith towards this good God shepherd, because he has something that can satisfy their lives and their hearts and their purpose and their vitality. Jesus is enough. He's enough. Now, if Jesus really is this good God shepherd, and if he really can satisfy our deepest needs as human beings, the question is, well, how? How? Mark leaves us a clue in the way he tells the story. Look at verse 41. It says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. Notice the words there. Taken, blessed, broken, given. That's almost word for word what Jesus does later on in Mark in chapter 14, verse 22. On the night before he dies on the cross, where Jesus had another meal with his followers, the Last Supper, we call it. There he takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and says, "This is my body given for you." So can you see what Mark is doing by using this language? He's giving us another layer of meaning to this miracle meal. It's pointing forward to Jesus who dies on the cross. It's all about Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, those who've gone astray, his body given, his blood shed, his life offered up so that guilty people like me can be forgiven. That's the true bread we need. That can satisfy people. That rescues lost people, because we've all gone astray. That's a problem, isn't it? That's why we're lost and why we're hungry, why we're never satisfied. We've gone away from the shepherd. Another word we might use for that is the word sin. The Bible calls it that. And fundamentally, you see, it's a relational problem we've got. Separation from the shepherd who made us and loves us. So the only way for lost sheep to find life again is to come back to the shepherd. And you know what? There's more good news, because the Christian message has never been clean yourself up and then you'll be all right. It's come as you are, broken, guilty, anxious, confused, all the rest of it. The shepherd doesn't wait for the sheep to find its way home. He goes out and lays down his life for them. That's exactly what baptism says. It's preached it to us. Today, Reuben and Elliot, they're not standing here. They're not saying, "Look what I've done." They're saying, "Look what he's done for me." They're not pointing to themselves. They're pointing to him, to the shepherd, to the bread of life, to the Saviour who gave himself for them. Whose bread do you reach for? Is it enough? Is it true bread? So as I finish, 3 questions. Could you follow a shepherd whose compassion could reach even you? Could Jesus be enough for you? Could he be the thing you've been searching for all along? And would you dare believe that his death and resurrection really rescues you? Maybe seeing Reuben and Ellie's baptism today has got you thinking. Perhaps you've never seriously considered Jesus before. Well, the invitation of this passage is wonderfully simple. Come as you are to this wonderful shepherd and find bread for life. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for the picture that baptism gives us of your death and resurrection for us. We thank you that Reuben and Ellie and many of us here have entered into that story. Our life joined to Christ's life. His death, our death. His life, our life. We thank you for this story in Mark's gospel that teaches us so much about our wonderful Saviour Jesus. Help us to see him, the good God shepherd, who provides for all our needs, even with his own life. Help us to see, help us to believe, help us to trust, help us to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.